that was fun. I know I can't follow that up in any kind of meaningful way at all. The Christmas story, actually so much of the Bible, in some ways it's so deep and it's so complex and it's so, God's mind is so much different than ours, and the plans that God has and the way that God communicates and the things that God does are, he says, our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. He's so far above us. And yet, in so many ways, God explains it to us in a way that a little child can understand. And he tells us that. And in some ways, these stories are so simple, but they're so powerful. And the depth, oftentimes, and the great impact and the great power in the stories of the Bible, oftentimes, is not in the understanding of it, or not in the explaining of it, it's the experiencing it and accepting it. And the Christmas story, I think, is like that. And it's good at this time of year to talk about the story, and that's what we're doing. We're going to spend the next few Sundays, actually started last Sunday, just kind of looking at the Christmas story and all of the different components in it that God gives us in the Bible. So just for a few minutes today, I'm going to do that. Tell a story or read a story from the Bible about two young boys from different families, and yet they are both part of this Christmas story. So I'm going to read, and you can follow along if you'd like. I'm going to read Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to read a little bit here. It's verses 5 through 38. It's not that long, but again, we're telling the story of two young boys. So follow along with me, or just listen if you'd like. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation today. This is Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 5. This is what it says. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." And the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. So two boys, two different young boys, both born to very godly families. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous before God. In fact, they were relatives, these two boys. Mary and Elizabeth, their moms were related, and so these two boys were relatives. And both of these families were very godly. God said to Mary that she'd found favor with him. So these boys are born into good families. Both births are miraculous. They're not the normal kind of birth. John, the older of the two, his parents were too old to have children. Zechariah, it says that they were very old. I don't know how old that is, but too old to have children, and yet here it was. Mary wasn't married. She was a virgin. She didn't have a husband, and she became pregnant through the Holy Spirit. So both of these births, both of the way that these two boys were conceived, was a miraculous thing. Not in the ordinary kind of way. Both of these boys had special roles. In other words, God saw these boys before they were born, and they had special roles, and God talks about them there in this passage. John, the first, was going to prepare the way of the Lord. It says he was going to be filled with the Spirit from birth, and he was going to prepare the way for the Lord. And he was going to have an influence on the people around him. He would turn the hearts of fathers to their children, the hearts of children to their fathers. God was doing something, and John was going to prepare the way for it. And God saw that in John before he was even born. This little boy had a special role. Same with Jesus. He was coming to be the Savior. His name, Jesus, the angel told Mary, name him Jesus. That word, the name Jesus, means Jehovah saves or God saves. Jesus was coming to be the Savior. He was coming to reign, it says. He was David's ancestor, David's descendant, and he was going to take David's throne and reign in Israel. So Jesus had a special purpose. Both of these boys did. These two young boys, 6 months apart, born in the same country, had special roles from God. God was doing something here. Now, in many ways, those two boys were just like every other child that's ever been born. And in fact, both of those things that I just said, a miraculous birth and a special purpose from God, that's not different than any child that's ever born. If we saw all these young people up there, and you look at them, and when you think God created each one of them from two cells, God made a person. God made a being that could think and could move. Every birth is miraculous. Sometimes when we understand a little bit about something, we think it's no big deal anymore. That is not true of a baby. We had three babies, and now I have four grandkids and one more on the way. Every one of them, you see that little person. And you see the delicate, completely interwoven parts and how everything works together. And then you watch them grow, not just physically, but emotionally. And they learn every birth is a miraculous thing. And every one of those kids, every one of them here, all of my kids, all of us, we have special purposes from God as well. God says that. He says that every one of us has been created. God put us together for a special purpose. There are things that he has for us to do. So in some ways, John and Jesus were no different than my kids or your kids or you and I or your grandkids. In some ways, that's true. But these two boys were very different from all other births, from all other young people, in one very, very big way. There was one very big deal thing that was true of these boys that is different, and that's this. These boys, their births and their lives were the fulfillment of a promise that God had made long, long ago. Many, many, many years before this, God had made a promise to Abraham. When God had said to him, "Abraham, I've chosen you. You have faith in me, and I'm going to do things through you, Abraham." And God made several promises to Abraham, but the one that these two boys are fulfilling, we see it in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. God says, "I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." All the families on earth, Abraham, will be blessed through you. Thousands of years before these two boys were born, God had said that to Abraham. At that point, Abraham had no children at all. But God said to Abraham, "You're going to have a son. And he's going to have children, and I'm going to follow that line, and through your line, Abraham, I'm going to bless every single family, every single person in all of the world for all of time." That was a promise that God made to Abraham. It says that Abraham believed God, and he looked for it to happen. And the years had gone by since Abraham's time, and Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob had 12 sons. If you've been around Cedar Creek for the last few years, we've been talking about this as we walk through the book of Genesis. And we see the story in a very short timeline of how God was keeping that promise. But now hundreds and thousands of years have gone by, and people have been waiting for God to keep that promise. People have remembered the promise that God made to Abraham. He's going to bless all the families in the world through Abraham. And these two boys are a huge, huge step in God keeping that promise. And it was such a big event then that God sent an angel to tell the parents ahead of time. Because it might be hard to believe. We've been waiting for this thing for thousands of years, and now my little boy, my little guy is going to be part of that? So God sent an angel, I think, to tell the parents ahead of time, both John's parents and Mary. And when you read in Matthew, he went to Joseph, Mary's husband, and told him as well. God told them ahead of time so they would understand and believe what these two boys were, I think. God wanted them to understand who these boys were, and God wanted them to believe who they were, what God was doing through them. God also told you and I about these two boys, believe it or not. God told not just the parents through the angel Gabriel, but God told you and I about these two boys, and God told the whole world about these two boys long, long, long before they were born. Because both of these boys and the way they were born and who they were fulfillments of prophecies that God had made many, many, many years ago. When you read in Luke there, what we read about John, those things are fulfilling prophecies that God had made about John long, long ago. John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. If you read a little bit farther in Luke chapter 3, that's what God says. John is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Well, that comes from the book of Isaiah. Many years before, Isaiah 40, verses 3, 4, and 5. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. God had said, I'm going to send someone before the Savior. I'm going to send someone before Emmanuel, and he's going to do this. He's going to tell people. He's going to prepare the way. That's who John was. John was also, it said there in Luke, we read that he was going to come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Well, Elijah was a prophet from many, many, many years earlier in the nation of Israel. And God had said that as well in the book of Malachi, another prophet that the Jewish people would have known very well. In Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, says, look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. And so we see God is using that exact same language. He's saying, this is who John is. Zechariah and Elizabeth, this is who your baby boy is. This is who this little miracle is. I've made him to do this. And you and I, he tells us, hey, this man is coming. And here he is. We can look back now and see John. He came to prepare the way for the Lord. Well, who is the Lord? Who is it that John was preparing the way for? Well, it's that second little boy. It's his relative. Because that second little boy, God talked about him as well. In the book of Isaiah, so many times in the book of Isaiah, God talks about the coming Messiah, the coming Savior, who he'll be, how he'll come. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he says this, all right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God said many, many, many years earlier, I'm going to come to you. Emmanuel means God with us. In other words, God says, I am going to come. God will come to earth in a human form. His mother will be a virgin. And we see that now. We see that happening here. God told Mary about it ahead of time. He told us about it ahead of time so that we could understand and believe. But he was not just God coming to be with us. He was God coming to be our Savior. Remember, we saw that. His name means Jesus saves. And God had talked about that so much in the Old Testament that when I come, when Emmanuel comes, he will be our Savior. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord has laid on him the sins of us all. Well, that him is Jesus. Because when he was born in that manger as a little boy, he lived his life there. And 3 decades or so later, when he was a man, he sacrificed his life. He surrendered it. The perfect human, God himself, gave up his life. Why? Well, there was a debt that had to be paid. And it says it right there. Whose debt? Well, mine. My debt. Your debt. We sinned. All of us have sinned against God when we've turned away from him and we became separated from God. And we could not go back and undo what we had done. So God said, I will do something that you can't do. I will pay the penalty for your sins. Your death penalty I will pay so that you can come. You can be forgiven. You can be free. I will save you. You see, we need a Savior. And Jesus, God himself, was that Savior. That little boy that John was preparing the way for, that's the Savior. My Savior. Your Savior. And so at the very beginning of the Christmas story, at the very beginning of it, we see God telling us something. He's telling us that, hey, I am keeping my promise. I'm keeping the promise that I made to Abraham. God is blessing all of the families of the world with a Savior. That's what Christmas is all about. That God is blessing all the families of the world, just like he promised Abraham so many years earlier. Here is that blessing. And what that blessing is a Savior. I've come to save you, to bring you home. That's what Christmas is all about. And I want to end. Last week, Mark had talked about this as well, and how Jesus, that Savior, came as the light. I want to end and just read this in Isaiah chapter 9. Again, this is a prophecy of Christmas. It says, "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. His rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." May the true light that comes into the world, God himself, shine in your heart. May it truly, truly shine in your heart. Not just in this Christmas season, but today, tomorrow, your entire life. God came to save us, to give us light. May we take it. May we see it. May we understand it. May we believe it. And may we take it. Father, I just thank you that Christmas is not just a fun time of year. It's a time for us to remember that you keep your promises, that your great love for us compelled you to leave heaven, to come and to be with us, not just for a time, but to come and be here and surrender your body so that we could be with you for all time. Help us, Lord, to see that, to understand it. Help us to believe it. Help us to live in that light every day. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming one thing. Heather, can you stand up? Heather Hubble helped those kids and put that together. Let's give Heather a big round of applause. Thank you so much. That was a wonderful thing. There are cookies out there. Thank you for coming to Cedar Creek.